All right, we'll say good morning. Let us begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Beis, 62. And we are picking up, we have a lot to do today. We are picking up, are we picking up in the middle of the page on Samech Aleph on the Beis? Is that where we left off? No, we got a little bit further down, right? Yeah, Bechol Nafshecha. Turn Rabbanon. We'll say, so that's where we're picking up. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from where the lines become widest. That's where we're picking up. Turn Rabbanon. So also we want to thank our sponsors for this morning's shiur, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drashos this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and the Shomel Haben Aliyah and the family in the Chama. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating this week of learning in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zachariah ben Zachariah and Dina Bas Pesach. Jack Bennett for dedicating the week of learning in memory of Tat Aluf Erez Gerstein, commander of the IDF's Lebanon liaison unit, killed by Hezbollah in February 1999. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families a nechama. And of course, we also thank the Elman Mishpacha for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of Linda's mother, Bunny Rubin Basha Bas Binyamin, on occasion of her yard site today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Michelle will have an aliyah, and the family in nechama. And of course, with that, let us begin. Today we come to perhaps one of the most dramatic stories in Shas. So we'll say, here we go. Tan Rabbanon. Pam achos gazru malchus. Remember, so we just remember where we're picking up from. We're picking up over here after on the heels of the discussion of v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol ma'odecha. So remember again, so why do you need all of these statements? Remember, we saw in the Gemara yesterday that ultimately some people value their money more than their life. Some people value their life more than their money. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers everyone by saying, no matter what you love most, be ready to give it up for me. And again, the Gemara Darshan b'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notas nafshecha. Even if he takes your life, I have to be willing to give myself al kiddush Hashem. I have to be willing to go ahead and literally sacrifice anything and everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tan Rabban, I will say, here we go. Pam achas gazra malchus harasha shlo yasku Yisrael batorah. One time, the Romans, so we'll say, this is Rome. The Romans decreed that Jews not go ahead and teach Torah, not engage in Torah. Ba papas ben Yehuda, umatzel Rabbi Akiva sheyemakil kilos rabim. So papas ben Yehuda came along, and he saw that Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah in public. So Rabbi Akiva was openly and defiantly going against the Roman edict. So the Gemara says, Amalei Akiva, iyatam isar mipnei amalchus. So Papas ben Yehuda says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, and obviously he must have known Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't call Rabbi Akiva, so Akiva, Akiva, are you not scared about defying the Romans? So listen to this, we'll say, Amar lo, so Rabbi Akiva says to Papas ben Yehuda, Em shalucha mashal ma'ad avadome. Let me give you a parable. L'shul shayim ha'alecha gavanar. This is like a parable of a fox that was walking on the side of the river. V'ra'a dogim, shayim iskabtse mimakom lamakom. And he saw fish that were kind of like, you know, fish sometimes swim in a school. So they were quickly swimming from one part to, right? Is that swim in a school? Does that make sense?
Yes.
A school of fish. Very good. So they're swimming in a group, right? And he sees them swimming from place to place. So the fox says to the fish, why are you running away? Amrulo. Because the people put fishing nets, they put nets into the ocean, into the sea, and so we're scared of being caught in the nets, so we constantly dart around. So the fox puts forward an incredible proposition to the fish. Why don't you guys come on land, right? Let's live together, and I'll take care of you just like our ancestors lived together, right? Whatever that means, right? So the fox says, I'll protect you, just come onto the land. So let's listen to this. Amrulo, so the fish said to the fox, Atu sha'omer malecha pikeach shebechayos. So the fish say to the fox, it's amazing that they call you the wisest of all animals. I guess the fox has a reputation of being quite intelligent. The fish said, you certainly have not lived up to that reputation. Lo pikeach ata, ela tipe shata. Fox, you are not wise, but rather you are foolish. So why the fish say like this? You know, the water, which is our habitat, we are fearful, right? We must, even though the water is our natural habitat, We must live in fear because of the nets of man. So the Gemara says, but how much more fear would we have to have if we went up on dry land, which is a place where we cannot survive? So the fish essentially said, if you're going to live in fear, at least live in fear where you know. Right? Live in fear in a place where you're familiar. Live in fear where you have a chance of survival, but don't live in fear in a place where you have absolutely no chance for survival. Afanachnu, so Rabbi Akiva says to Papas Ben Yehuda, Achshav Shana Yoshen Va'oskim Batorah, so Rabbi Akiva says, now that we're sitting and we're learning Torah, Shekasu Bakiu Chayecha Va'orech Yamecha, Kach Im Anu Holchim Umevaklim Mimena, Alachas Kama Vakama. So Rabbi Akiva says like this, here's the shekel, here's the calculation one has to make. We're told that the Torah is our life. The Torah is our life. So if when learning Torah, we're going to be in danger, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so if we stop learning Torah, will we be in danger? So Rabbi Akiva says, I understand that by teaching Torah in public, there's a mortal danger, but there's a higher danger if we stop learning. So better to go ahead, just like the fish says, I'm in danger. If I'm in water, I'm in danger. If I'm out of water, but better to be in danger in water, where at least that's my natural habitat. There's danger if we learn Torah. There's danger if we don't learn Torah, but at least better to go ahead and be in danger in our natural habitat of Torah than to be in danger without Torah. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Lo hayu yomim mu'atim atche tafsul Rabbi Akiva, v'chavshua beveis asurim. Only a few days after this exchange, the Romans arrested Rabbi Yehuda and put him in jail for the crime of teaching. I'm sorry, Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva, I put him in jail for the crime of teaching Torah. V'tafsula papas ben Yehuda, v'chavshua etzlo. Papas ben Yehuda was also arrested and was put in jail together with Rabbi Akiva. So Amar lo papas, miha biyacha lekan. So what happens? So he said, Papas, what happened? Why are you here? Amar lo ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. So Papas ben Yehuda says, Rabbi Akiva, how praiseworthy are you? Shenistapasta al divrei Torah. You know, at least you were arrested for a spiritual crime of teaching Torah. Ailo lepapas shenitpas al dvarim betelim. But woe to Papas ben Yehuda, who was arrested ultimately again for dvarim betelim, for nothing. Now, it happens to be, there's a fascinating machlokas, or the Marsha quotes it, in terms of why exactly was Papas ben Yehuda, why was Papas ben Yehuda arrested? So some say he was arrested for theft. Others say there's a Gemara Maseches Tainis that brings down that one time the Jewish community was accused of killing the daughter of the Caesar. And the Caesar said, if somebody does not come forward to admit the crime, then ultimately, again, the entire community will be executed. Papus and his brother Lulianus stepped forward and took responsibility for the crime, even though they did not do it, in order to go ahead and save the entire community. So we'll say it's an incredible story, but you have to understand something also. Papus and Lulianus are not Jewish names, right? Those are Greek-Roman names, which means that this was a highly assimilated family. And you see over here something amazing. The incredible kedusha of a Jew. Right? Papas was willing to step forward and accept guilt for a crime that he did not commit. He didn't do it. It's an incredible thing about the kedusha that a Jew possesses. Obviously, we learn and we perform mitzvahs and we observe in order to intensify that kedusha, but that kedusha is something that is innate. So Papas and Rabbi Akiva are in two adjoining cells. So watch, the Gemara says, B'shashotzu es Rabbi Akiva lahariga. When they went ahead and they took Rabbi Akiva out to be executed. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva was one of the Asar Harugei Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs. So they take him out to be executed. And the Romans were known for their exceptionally brutal and horrific forms of execution. V'hayusarkin es b'saru b'masreiko shel barzel. They take Rabbi Akiva out and they're literally scraping the flesh off of his body with steel combs. And while all this is happening, v'hayamakabel alov omachu shamayim. You have to imagine the scene. Rabbi Akiva is being flayed. Rabbi Akiva is being brutalized in such a horrific way. And while all of this is happening, what is he doing? He's saying Kriya Shema. He's saying Kriya Shema. Amar lo Talmidim. So it's amazing, the Talmidim, there's so much to say on this exchange, but the Talmidim say, Rabbi, Rabbeinu, Ad Kan. They said, Rabbi Akiva, Ad Kan, meaning, do you have to do so much? Rebbe said, the Marsha points out on this also, understand what happened over here. Rabbi Akiva is saying Kriya Shema, and the students interrupt him. They interrupt him in the middle. They say, Rabbeinu, Ad Kan. They can't understand what it is that they're seeing. First of all, they can't understand how their Rebbe is suffering so much. They can't understand how a tzaddik is suffering so much. You know, Rabbi Akiva was someone who was most nefesh for Torah his whole life. His whole life, right, from the time that he discovered Torah at the age of 40, he's Moser Nefesh for his whole life. So the Talmidim don't understand what it is that they see happening in front of them. So say, Rabbeinu, you're being brutalized. You have to say Shema now. So Rabbi Akiva says, Amar Lahem, Kol Yom Ha'Yisi Mitzta'ara HaPasek Zeh, B'chol Nafshecha, Afil Notas Nishmaschem. Rabbi Akiva says, you know, my whole life, I never understood or I never appreciated the meaning of B'chol Nafshecha. What does it mean? That you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, even if he takes your neshama. Amarti, I always thought to myself, Mosai Yavo Liyodi Vek Akhay Mena. When will I have the opportunity to perform this mitzvah? V'achshav Sheba Liyodi Lo Akhay Mena. And Rabbi Akiva says, now I have this opportunity, and I'm not going to perform it. Hayamarich Be'echad. Rabbi Akiva was elongating the echad, as is the halacha, achiyatzesam nishmaso be'echad, until ultimately he left this world with echad. As soon as he finished saying echad, he died. Yatzesabaskal va'amra ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Praiseworthy are you, Rabbi Akiva. Shiyatzesa nishmascha be'echad. Praiseworthy are you, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul left your body as you recited echad. So I will say, amru ma'alochi ashrecha tnei'akadosh baruch hu. So in the heavens, this created an incredible stir. And the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, what is happening? Zu Torah, Vezu Schara, this is Torah and this is its reward. Rabbi Akiva did everything for you. He was Moser Nefesh for you. And this is what happens to him? So Meisim Yadcha, Mimeisim Amar Lahem, Chalkam B'chayim. So we'll say, so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Mimsim Yadcha Hashem, Mimsin Nechelet Chalkam Chayim. So Amar Lahem, Chalkam B'chayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise you, don't worry. Although Rabbi Akiva suffered terribly in this world, his chilek, his portion of eternal life in the world to come, is greater than you could ever imagine. Yotze sabaskova amra ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, sha'ata muzuman l'chaye olam haba. Abaskal came out and said, praiseworthy are you, Rabbi Akiva, for you are invited, ultimately again, to eternal life in the world to come. I'll say, is it not kedai to learn an entire shas? Just to see a story of Rabbi Akiva, just to see Mesiras Nefesh, just to see who we hail from. We'll say, this is our Zeda, this is our ancestor, this is who we come from, this is who we are, this is the incredible strength that we possess internally. We should hope that Rabbi Akiva's neshama should have an aliyah, and hopefully he is enjoying his lichtiga Gan Eden. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lo yakya adam es rosho keneged shara mizrach. So we'll say, the Gemara goes on and says, a person should not act in a mocking manner, in a lightheaded manner, keneged shara mizrach, opposite the eastern gate, shumechovan keneged beis kodesh HaKadosh. So we'll say, so this idea over here is that when you're standing opposite the eastern gate, opposite the kodesh HaKadosh and the beis HaMikdosh, one has to act with reverence. Amrav Yudam Rav, lo amru ela menat sofim elifnim. This is only true if you're from heart sofim and in. So you're close to the beis HaMikdosh compound, uberoa, and assuming you could see the beis HaMikdosh as well. So the Gemara says, itmar nami amrabi avrari drabi chiyo bar abba, hachi amrabi yochanan, lo amru ela menat sofim elifnim. So we'll say, when is this true? That you should not act in a lightheaded manner opposite the eastern gate, which is opposite of the Beis HaMikdash, which is opposite the Holy of Holies. That's only if you're standing from the inside of Heart Sofim, right? From the inside of Mount Skopin, you're standing close. You could see the Beis HaMikdash. You could see the Beis HaMikdash. There's no wall or fence in between you and the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. So we'll say, understand the ramifications of this. So ramifications of this, the Brisa says, is that if you're defecating in Yehuda, right, now it's just in the region of Yehuda. So it's right. If you're relieving yourself in the region of Yehuda, lo yiftem mizrach marav, you should not sit to defecate in an east-west direction, because that would make you opposite the Beis HaMikdash. Ella safan v'darav. Rather, if you have to defecate, you should do so ultimately again facing north-south, the Galil, and in the north of Eretz Yisrael, lo yifne ela mizrach marav. You should face only east-west, not north-south. Rabbi Yossi matir, Rabbi Yossi says, it's not a problem. She Rabbi Yossi omer lo asr ela baroa, ubemakom shein sham geder, ubezman sheshkin ashora. Because what Rabbi Yossi says, this idea of not going ahead and acting in a lightheaded manner, which includes defecating, in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only when you are close to the Beis HaMikdash. There is no barrier in between you and the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. But if any of those factors are not present, then this halacha doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, V'cham osun. The Chachamim prohibit this. Chacham haynu Tanakama. I, the Chacham, the same thing as the Tanakama. Ikavanei, the practical Lurusinim is studying. Israel will say, what happens if you're a little bit off to the side? Let's say you're not directly opposite Yerushalayim, a little bit off to the side. According to the Tanakama, being off to the side is still problematic. According to the Chacham, it is not. Another Braisa. Hanifne bi Yehuda, lo yifne bizmech ha-mairif. If a person goes ahead and relieves himself in Yehuda, he shouldn't relieve himself in an east-west direction. Elitzaf and Vidarim. So we'll say the ideal here is that when defecating, one should not defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, Tzaf and Vidarim. Begalil, and in the Galil, Tzaf and Vidarim, Asr, Mizrach, HaMairav, Mutur. Rabbi Yossi Mat, Rabbi Yossi permits all of this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Asr, Ela, Baroa. Rabbi Yossi says there's only a problem defecating in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. If what? If you could mamish see the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda Omer, Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Asr, Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Mutur. Rabbi Huda says that what? When the Beis HaMikdash stands, that's when you can't defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, but if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, there's no directional issues. So the Gemara says, we'll say, Rabbi Akiva Oser Bechol Makom. Rabbi Akiva says, it is usher to defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash wherever you are. We'll say, just want to show you something amazing. Did you just see what happened over here? We just learned about the brutal death of Rabbi Akiva. And then three lines down, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Chazal say, what do you see from here? At the end of the day, the one thing that lives on after you are no longer here is the Torah and is the Ruchnius that you amass. Everything else in life dies with you. Your kavod dies with you. Your wealth, I mean, you could pass on your wealth. But ultimately, again, that's not the one thing that ultimately lives on after you is your Torah. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva Omer is a present statement. But Rabbi Akiva just died. Rabbi Akiva was just brutalized. Rabbi Akiva was just murdered a few lines before. Rabbi Akiva Omer. But I say the Torah that you leave behind in this world to students, to family, to children, to friends, that lives on long after you are gone. Incredible. So the words of Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama. I, Rabbi Akiva, saying the same thing as Tanakama. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, there's a machlokas over here now. Does this halacha about not defecating in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, does that apply in Chutz La'aretz or not? So that apparently is subject of machlokas. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, Chutz La'aretz. So Rabbi Havashajan Lebnei Mizrach Umayrav. So we'll say Rabba, would go ahead and arrange his bricks. So what they used to do, I guess, as like a makeshift toilet, is you would go ahead and assemble bricks. And you would sit down on the bricks, and you would relieve yourself like that. So Rabba used to arrange his bricks from Mizrach Ma'ariv, east-west. Azal Abayi, Shadin Lotzaf and Darim. Abayi came along and switched around the orientation of his toilet, ultimately, again, to go north-south. So the Gemara says, "Al Rabba Tartzinhu." Rabba came back and he went ahead and he moved them back. Amar Man Haidi Kamasarli. Who's messing with my toilets? Right? Who's going ahead? Right? Who's going ahead and moving my bricks? What's happening over here? So Anok Rabbi Akiva Sfirli Darachol Makom Aser. So he said, "Ahodik Rabbi Akiva." So we'll say, so obviously, Rabba had arranged it because Rabba was Chutz La'aretz, but he still felt that you still cannot defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. His Talmud came along, Abai came along and said, "No, this doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael." So Rabba says, "I hold the Rabbi Akiva," and Rabbi Akiva says that you may not defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash wherever you are, even in Chutz La'aretz. Good. We'll say top of Samech Beis. Good, today's top. Samech Beis. Samech Beis on Aleph. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Akiva. Pam achas, and we'll say so here. It's okay, it goes quickly. Pam achas, nichnasti ach Rabbi Yoshua Beis HaKisei. One time, I followed Rabbi Yoshua into the bathroom. Lavel amarati, menu gimel dvar, and I learned from him three things. Lamarati, shei nifnan mizrach umayruv. Number one, I learned from him, from the position that he was in when he defecated, that you don't defecate towards east-west. In other words, you don't defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Elot safan bedarim. Rather, you defecate, ultimately, again, north-south. Vela marati, furthermore, what else did I learn? That ultimately, again, one should only uncover himself once he is sitting and not while he's standing. This is talking about if one is going to remove his clothing, ultimately to go ahead and defecate, one should only uncover himself when he sits down and not while he's standing. You're supposed to say the idea behind this is, this obviously also has to do with the type of clothing they wore, but the idea behind this is that even when going to the bathroom, one should be tsanua. one should be modest in how he uncovers himself. And I also learned that when one wipes, one should only wipe oneself with the right hand and not with the left hand. More about that in just a little bit. Amarle ben Azai. So Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Ad kan he asta panecha barabcha. Don't you think that's a bit intrusive to follow your Rebbe into the bathroom like that? And obviously, again, you must have been in pretty close proximity if you picked up all this information. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva say? It's incredible. Torahi velil maldani sarah. You know what? I gotta learn Torah. And if I gotta learn Torah, sometimes you gotta do some awkward stuff. But I'm gonna learn it. We'll say, first of all, just in the profundity of this Gemara, what the Gemara is highlighting over here is that Rabbi Akiva understood that sometimes we're both like, the greatest things we learn from our teachers are not the things they teach us in a shir or in a formal communication, but it's by observing their behaviors. Anyone who is zocha to have a relationship with a real Rebbe knows that sometimes the little things you pick up just by the behaviors, by the things that are said, by the time that is spent together, are so profound, just as much as the formal Torah that's given over. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yeshua is my Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. So I have to learn from him how to live my life, including these more intimate details. Tanya. So Ben Azai, Omer Pam Achas, Nichnasti Achar Rabbi Akiva Lebeis Hakisi. So listen to this. Now it's the reverse. So Ben Azai, remember again, first story was Rabbi Akiva following Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom. Ben Azai saying, Rabbi Akiva, don't you think that's a bit much? To which Rabbi Akiva responds, Torah hi velilmod anitzarek. It's Torah and I have to learn. Now, Bosai, Ben Azai follows Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom. So what happens? So Ben Azai says, Pamachas nechnasti ach Rabbi Akiva lebeis hakisei, v'lamarati mimenu gimel dvarim. And I learned from him three things. Lamarati she'in nifnin mizrach umayrif. I learned that we do not defecate facing east-west. Rather, only north-south. I learned that when uncovering oneself to defecate, one should wait until one sits down to go ahead and uncover his body. One should not do it standing up. And I also learned that you only wipe with the right hand and not with the left. So Rabbi Huda says to Ben Azai, don't you think that's a bit much? Right? Don't you think that's a bit much that ultimately you go ahead and you follow your Rebbe into the bathroom? To which Ben Azai responded, Rabbi Akiva responded, it's Torah and I have to learn it. Good. So we'll say, first of all, just about this, the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Rebbe says that we hold that this din of not defecating in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash only applies with all the qualifications. Number one, that you're doing so in close proximity to the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, there's nothing blocking your view of the Beis HaMikdash. And number three, the Beis HaMikdash still is standing. But in the absence of any of those criteria, there are no direction, there's no, we'll call it defecational directional issues. Right? In other words, whatever you want to do, whatever, right? The direction doesn't really make a difference. So we'll say, so now, interestingly enough, this is a pretty wild story as far as stories go. So Rav Kahana, all gonna to say Poria Dirab Shame. So Dirab, excuse me. So we'll say Rav Kahana hid himself underneath the bed of Rav. Shamei, so we'll say, see, he's there as Rav is having relations with his wife. Shamei disach visachak v'asat zrachav. So he hears ultimately again, he hears that Rav, we'll say that it's interesting. Sach v'sachak, if you look at Rashi, sach v'sachak, sach means converse. Sachak means like made jokes, like was laughter. Im ishto shehe sicha betela shel ritzui tashmish. So he heard that Rav was talking with his wife, was creating a mood with his wife. He heard that Rav, and then afterwards they engaged in the act of relations. So Jose, listen to this. So Rav Kahana's there, right? So Amar Lei, Rav Kahana pipes up from under the bed. Dami pumei da'aba. The master speaks like someone who has never eaten food before. So I'll say, so what does that mean? Rav Kahana was surprised that Rav was talking and making jokes. Like, so I'll say, because there is a hashkafa, there is an outlook that when it comes to relations, someone simply has an obligation. There's an obligation either for ona, an obligation that a husband has towards his wife, or for procreation purposes, but there's a certain level of austerity that one brings to this particular act. So Rav Kahana was surprised that Rav was talking, that Rav was making jokes, that there was laughter, that he was creating a mood. So he says, it sounds like this is like your first time, right? It sounds like you've never eaten before. The way you approach this seems to be like someone, if you look at Rashi, kedelo sarif tafshi, like one who has never eaten, ka adam roiv, kimo shaloshi mashtemi taschali olam, shatanoi kalos rosh zelat avasecha. It's strange that you're just being noig in this kalos rosh, in this levity. So I say, so this is incredible. So I'm like, kahano. So Rav calls out, kahana, haka'at, what are you doing here? Right? Puk, get out. Delav orech ara. This is not normal. Right? So this is incredible. So we'll say, see, I'm over here, Rav saying, I'm going to see you in the basement address tomorrow. Right? You do not belong here. Get out of here. So Amrale, Torah hi v'lil not adit sarech. So basically enough, Shav Kahana says, Rebbe, this is Torah too, and I have to learn from you. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, we don't do this. Right? I just want to point this out. So we'll say, again, obviously, I want to say, this is a wild story, and this story obviously is put in here. Why is this story included in Shas? It's certainly not for us to learn from, on a serious level, meaning obviously, this is a serious breach in Sneas, and what Rav Kahana did was inappropriate and wrong, and you could see that from Rav's. Rav Kahana's motivations were pure, right? He wanted to learn how to even conduct oneself. But I will say, but the idea is, first of all, to teach us that Judaic conduct follows us everywhere, right? Our Yiddishkeit informs everything we do, from how we learn Torah to how we engage in intimacy. Everything ultimately, again, is governed by Torah. And that's the beauty of Torah. It gives us hadracha, gives us guidance in every area. But again, it also highlights the need to have a Rebbe, and ultimately, again, to create a relationship with that Rebbe. And not just, again, it through learning, but even through conduct. Again, all of us, anyone who has a relationship with someone who's great, knows that you learn so much just by observing conduct. That's what the Gemara is trying to relate to us. So the Gemara says, let's go back for just a moment. Why don't we wipe with the right hand? Why do we go ahead and wipe with the left hand and not with the right? So the Gemara says, because Torah was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his right hand, kiviyachol. Obviously, that's anthropomorphic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a hand, but the idea being that when it discusses this idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his Torah over with the right. The right represents dominance. So since Torah was given over with the right, therefore we don't wipe with the right, we only wipe with the left. Rabbi Bar Bachana Amar, Memeshi Krova Lepeh. This is interesting. Rabbi Bar Bachana says there's a hygienic issue. The hygienic issue is that people more often, the right hand is closer to the mouth. Which I guess means that people eat with their right hand. So because that's the hand that's going to have more contact with your mouth. So just from hygienic purposes, you don't want to be wiping with that hand. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, mepnei shekosher batfilin. Rabbi Shimon Rish Lakish says, Rabbi, because the right hand is the hand with which you tie tefillin. Again, it's a right-handed man's world. Us lefties feel a little bit left out. I will say, but if you are right-handed, you put tefillin on your left hand, and ultimately you go ahead and you tie your tefillin with your right hand. So because you are tying your tefillin with your right hand, the right hand has dominance, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh, you shouldn't go ahead and wipe with it. The Gemara says, "Ranachar b'Yitzchak neshemare b'tamei Torah." Ranachar b'Yitzchak says, because when you're learning the trup, so you would point to the trup, ultimately, again, using your right hand. Kitanoi, Bosei says, "Machlokis Rabbi Lozer amnei she'ocha ba." So say, why can't you wipe with your right hand, except rather with your left hand? So Rabbi Lozer says, "Amnei she'ocha ba," because it is the hand. Ultimately, again, it is the hand. It is the hand that you eat with, right? Nisha Ochalba, Rabbi Yeshua, Nisha Koseba, it's the hand that you write with, Rabbi Kiva, Nisha Maraba Tami Torah. It's the hand that you point out the trap of the Torah. But Tanchum Ben Chaniloi, Kalatzanoa Beisakise, so what's it? Tanchum Ben Chaniloi says that Kalatzanoa, whoever is modest in the bathroom, Nitzel Mishlosha Dvarim, he is saved from three things. Modesty in the bathroom, saved from three things. Rabbi Yeshua, you know, modesty takes, I think we spoke about this before, but modesty takes on a couple of different levels, right? Modesty, number one, is over here the Gemara is pointing out about how you uncover yourself. The idea being to be modest and how you uncover yourself. I will say another form of contemporary modesty is not talking in the bathroom. Right, that's also a form of modesty. Not conversing while one's relieving oneself is also a form of tznius. So the Gemara says, if one goes ahead and is sanua in the bathroom, nitzel mishlosha devarim, you are saved from three things. Snakes, scorpions, and shadim. They will say, this is pretty good. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Minachashim, Minakrava, Minamazikin. The Mitoch, Tzniyos, Misnag, Binachas, Ubishtika. The Inahanachashim, Margishim, Liskanos, Babafa, Mazikin, Chasin, Alab. So we'll say, so it's interesting. So Rashi seems to say, if you're quiet, you do not disturb the snakes and the scorpions that are there, and therefore you emerge unscathed. And if you're Tzanua, then ultimately, again, the Shadim don't bother you as well. And others say you will have good dreams as well. Both say the idea being that if a person goes out of his way to be modest, to exhibit forms of tznius, even in a situation which lends itself to immodesty, then again, that represents a heightened spiritual level. And when a person lives on a heightened spiritual level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords them a shmiri sira, an additional level of divine providence and protection. The Gemara tells the story. Hahu beis hakisi dava b'Tveria. There was a bathroom in Tveria. Kava aili beitrei afilu b'yamama misiki. So see, remember again, we spoke about the idea that Shadim would often go ahead and frequent bathrooms. So I will say, so there was apparently a beis hakise. There was a bathroom in Tveria that was so overrun by Shadim that even if you two people went in there by day, they would still be harmed by the Shadim. And that's pretty big, because generally daytime is not as bad. And furthermore, again, Shadim only harm you if what? If you go in by yourself. But if you go in two people, so apparently the shade presence was so intense in this Beis Hakisei that literally even two people went in by day, they would be harmed. Rabbi Aaron, Rabbi Asi, Havu Aili Bechad Vechad Luchudei Velo Misiki. Yet Rabbi Aaron, Rabbi Asi both went in there themselves and they were not harmed. Amrulu Rabbana Lo Mistafisu. Are you not concerned? Are you not scared? Ultimately, again, about entering into this Beis Hakisei with the Shadim. Amriluhu, so Rabbi Asi said, Anan Kabbalah Gamrinan. We have a Kabbalah, right? We have a tradition. What's our tradition? Kabbalah Beis Hakisei Tzniusa Ushtikusa. Ultimately, again, our Kabbalah is that in the bathroom, if you're tzanua, if you're modest, and you are silent, don't talk, nothing bad will happen to you. Kabbalah di Yisuri, we have a Kabbalah tradition. How do you deal with suffering? Shtikusa, accept it in silence, umibay rachami, and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. Abaye, marbile, so listen to this. Abaye, marbile ime imra lemel bahadele beis hakise. So this is incredible. Sabaye, when he was a little boy, his mother had trained one of their sheep to follow him along wherever he went, even into the beis hakise. So let's say, so like this, little Abaye was never alone at all, right? Because remember again, Shadim only hurt you if you're alone, and even having an animal present is enough. So his mother trained one of the sheep to go out and follow him wherever he went. So the Gemara says, "I Rabbi Le Gadja." So I don't understand why ultimately again why a sheep? Why not a goat? Seir b'seir michlav. Because Rabbi say a goat in Hebrew is called a seir, and another name for shadim is also a seir. So she did not want to send something into the bathroom with him the same name as a shade. Good. Rava, listen to this, Rabbi say mikamei de havereisha mekarkishala bas rav chista amezuga bekalma. So we'll say Rava, when he used to go to the bathroom, right, the Beis Hakisei, if his wife was with him, what she would do is she would literally make a noise. So we'll say what she would do, literally translated, it means she would take a nut, place it in a metal utensil, and rattle it while he was in the bathroom. The idea being, I guess, noise also scares away the Shadim. Listen to this. However, Basar de Malach, but after Rava became the Rashi Shiva, and I will say, apparently, the greater you are, the more the Shadim try to negatively impact you. Avdala kafsa umanchala yada areshe. It's very interesting. She made a window in the Beis Hakisei, and when her husband would be relieving himself, she would place her hand on his head through the window so that he would not be alone in the Beis Hakisei. Pretty incredible. Amra Ula, achori hageder nifna miyad. So we'll say again, going back to the etiquette of defecating. So we'll say, Su'ula said, if you are behind the fence, or if you're behind the wall, you could defecate right there. Ubabika, in an open area, kozman shem is'ate shvein chavero shomea. So we'll say, if you're in an open area, so how far do you have to distance yourself? Far enough that if a person flatulates, no one else will be able to hear. Isi Barnosan, bless you. Isi Barnosan Masniachi. Isi Barnosan had a different version. Achori hageder kozman shem is'ate shvein chavero shomea. If you're behind the fence, so if you're behind the fence, as long as you could, right, flatulate and no one else hears. Ubabika kolzman shein chavero roeo. And if you're in an open area, you must shield yourself from sight. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, How far away do you have to move in order to relieve oneself? So Meisve Yotzim Pesach Pesach Bad V'Niflim Achori Ageder V'Hein Tohorin. So we'll say this is talking about a situation where someone is watching a press, an olive press, and the reason he's standing guard over the olive press is in order to ensure their ritual purity. So let's say the guard has to take a break from his position in order to go ahead and relieve himself, but he still wants to maintain a certain level of guardianship over the press so that the olives remain ritually pure. So what does he do? He just goes behind the gate, goes behind the fence, takes care of his needs there, and yet that's still considered as if he's guarding the olives. So the Gemara says, so you see from here that for the purposes of defecation, one doesn't really have to distance themselves all that far. One can go right behind the fence. But taras akilu, taras are different. When it comes to ritual purity, it's different. They're a makel. Tashma, kama yirach kubi tohorin. So we'll say, how far could the guard distance himself from the olive press and the olives still be considered to be tar? Most remember, what is he guarding against? He's making sure that no one ritually impure comes in contact with these items. Kadeshiro ehu. Ultimately, again, as long as he still has a line of sight, then he's okay. Shiny ochlitaros taki the rabbanan. I'll say again, you can't bring a raya. Normally, in order to defecate, you would have to distance yourself a much greater distance. Right? It's different by taras if somebody is guarding the olive press. For ritual purity purposes, Chazal relaxed the standards and allowed him to defecate in much closer proximity. Ravashi Amar, my kozman shein chaveo roe, dekamer isi barnasam, kozman shein chaveo roe es peru'o, aval lididei chazilei. So also Ravashi says that what does it mean you have to defecate far away that your friend can't see you? It means that your friend can't see you unclothed. Meaning the problem, for example, is not for someone else to see you, let's say, sitting down and relieving yourself. The problem is for someone else to see you unclothed. So as long as you are clothed enough that a person would not see you unclothed, you could defecate even in ocular range of another person. There was a particular eulogizer who was eulogizing before Rav Nachman. Amar, haitzanua bar chosef hava. So I'll say, people used to hire professional eulogizers. It was an industry, right? You're a professional eulogizer, you'd meet with the family is going to tell you about their loved one, and you're going to mamish deliver like, you know, there are different, I guess, you know, you'd pay for a tearjerker, right? You'd pay for this one, you'd pay for that, different levels. So there was this saptan, there was this eulogizer who was talking about a particular individual for Rav Nachman, and the eulogizer said about the deceased, he was very modest in all of his ways. Amarli Rav Nachman, at Ailis Padela Besakisi, tell me, you said that he's modest. Did you ever follow him into the bathroom? Or is apparently the true metric of one's modesty is how he conducts himself in the bathroom. V'adati tzanoilo, disanya, in korin tzanoa, a person is only called tzanoa, elamisha tzanoa beis hakisei. I will say the only person who is called a tzanoa is someone who is modest in the bathroom. Rav Nachman, my nafkilamine, Rav Nachman, what do you care? In other words, what does it matter to you if what the eulogizer says or not? Right, they will say, let the eulogizer say that the guy was a tzanoa. What is it? In other words, what the Gemara is asking is, what does it matter if the eulogizer is totally truthful or not totally truthful? Why can't he embellish a little bit? So let's listen to this. Asanya, kashim shniframin amesim kach niframin asabdanin. Because Rabbi say, the halacha is that if you're eulogized and they say something nice about you, that's not really true. You're held accountable for that falsehood in Beis Din Shalmala. And the mace, the deceased, is held accountable, and the eulogizer is held accountable. Both are held accountable. And I will say, anyone who says amen to that eulogy that's false is also held accountable. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Tzanua. But who is someone who is modest? This is a person who defecates at night in the same place where he defecates by day. Meaning, the same way that a person goes far away and hides himself in order to defecate by day so he shouldn't be seen. So someone who does that by night, even though again it's dark outside, that's very tsanua. Ini is that so Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav the Olam Yaneg Adam Asasa Shachar Zarvis Kedesha Itzarch LeSachik. Yet Rav said that what? Well, say a person should accustom himself to defecate early in the morning and late at night. This is before people are out. They say you could defecate close by to your home, and you don't have to go out and go far away. So you see from here that at night, you don't have to isolate yourself for defecation purposes. V'su Rava, b'imam hava azul admiyo. Furthermore, Rava himself, during the day, if he had to defecate, he would often travel a far distance, up to a mil away from other people, so he should not be seen. Ubalayla, but if you have to defecate by night, amrali l'shamei, penuli duchta beruchova demasa. He would tell his attendant, find me a place to defecate right here in the street. So in other words, at night, where there was no one around, he would not go ahead and go far away to defecate. At night, right, he would tell his attendant, see if there's anyone behind the Beis Medrash, because if there's not, I need to relieve myself. So we'll say, see from here, at night, you don't have to distance yourself very far. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rather, what it means to say is like this, that a person who is sanua, just like a person is careful to only defecate privately by day, so a person should be tsanua. A person with tsanua also is careful to only defecate privately at night as well. So lav dafka, I have to go to a faraway distance, but a person ultimately, again, should maintain the same levels of modesty. See, levels of modesty. In the same way, by day, a person only uncovers the necessary parts of the body in order to defecate. So by day, so too by night, a person should maintain that same level of personal modesty as well. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Teyam Afilu Makom Lo Nitzucha Ela LeKaren Zavis. Rav Ashi, what it also means is the same way by day, if you could find a private corner in which to defecate, by night, you should also look for a private corner. So, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rav, that a person should try to accustom himself to defecate early in the morning and at night, in order that he won't have to go ahead and distance himself to defecate by day. That supports this. Benazai Omer, Hashkim Vitzei, Herab Vitzei. Get up early to use the bathroom. At night, use the bathroom. Kidei Shelo Tisrachik. In order that you should not have to go ahead and distance yourself by day in order to defecate. Mimashmesh v'shev v'al teshev u'timashmesh. So we'll say, so mashmesh means, this apparently means like if a person had difficulty defecating, so they would manipulate the area of defecation. So apparently the way to do that is to manipulate the area before you sit and not after you sit. Shekala yoshev u'mimashmesh afilu osin k'shav. So we'll say, because apparently if a person sits down first and then manipulates the area of defecation, afilo osin kashafen baaspamia binalov. So Rabbi say, apparently this made one susceptible to kishuf. Rabbi say, we don't have time to get into this now, but kishuf, Rabbi say, again, is sorcery. Understand, there was a form of kishuf that worked. Right? It's not like today when we see God's sorcery, it's you know, nothing. There was kishuf, there was some dark arts, black magic, whatever you want to call it, that actually had power. It very often, the Gemara says, relied on shadim. It relied on demons. So apparently, again, for whatever the reason, if one were to go ahead and manipulate themselves in the wrong order, right? You're supposed to manipulate the area where you have to defecate from before you sit. If you were to do it after you sit, for whatever reason, that makes you susceptible to kshafim. The inshiv yasif, and if you go ahead and you forgot, and you first sat down and then manipulated the area to allow for easier defecation, maitakante, so what do you do in order to ensure that you are not, that you do not go ahead and become susceptible to kshafim? Kikai le mahachi. Lo li, lo tichim, velo tachtim, lo hani, velo mahani, lo charshi, decharsha, lo charshi, decharshasa. So the Gemara says essentially, you recite this statement that no type of kishuf share any type of hold over me. Right? So again, if you accidentally, I said the order that the Gemara is saying over here is manipulate and then sit. But if you accidentally first sat and then manipulated, for whatever the reason, that makes you subject, potentially subject, to negative kishuf, to negative ice. So therefore, you recite this recitation, loli, loli, lolo, which essentially says, kishuf should have no power over me. I'm with Beis. Good. Tanya, plenty of time. Ben Azai says, I'll call Mishkov Shachav Chutz Minakarka. So Rabbi Benazai says, sit anywhere you want in life, but don't sit on the ground. Also, what Benazai was concerned about is sitting on the ground, there's sometimes a chill in the earth, and you could get sick. I'll call Moshav Shave on any place you could sit, Chutz Minakora, except for a beam. Now, the beam that they're talking about over here is a high beam. A high beam, right? Because there's a danger in that. If you sit on a high beam, Chas Hashem, you could fall down and hurt yourself. Say, this is just practical advice. Amr Shmuel, Sheina ba'amud ha-shachar, ki is tamo leparzol. Shmuel says that sleeping at dawn is like steel for iron. But say, the idea being that all sleep is good, but apparently if you're sleeping a little bit at dawn, right, in those last vestige of night, that type of sleep is especially beneficial. like steel for iron, except if you're coming to shear. Right? They will say then coming to shear is better than any sleep in the world. You'd see about Amud HaShachar, similarly again, both say, if you have to go ahead and go out in the morning, right? If you have to go out and travel, so going out first thing in the morning is beneficial. Kistam leparazol, like steel for iron. Both say, what does that mean? If you're going to accomplish something in the day, get an early start. Get an early start. Whatever you're going to do in life, jump on it and get an early start. Bar Kafra, hava maz bin mili bidinar. Both say this is great. Bar Kafra, apparently, I guess a side business he had is he used to sell wise sayings for a dinar. Right? So it was incredible. So if you needed like a good saying, right? You needed like a good memra, you went to Bar Kafra and for a dinar. So what did he say? So what, here's one of his sayings. Apparently, we are getting for free. He would say, Adekafanta echol. While you're hungry, eat. Ad de tzach is shasi. While you're thirsty, drink. Ad de rischa kederecha shafach. While your pot is bubbling, pour it out. Shabbos says, so the first thing we understand, meaning when you, and our Shabbos said, the idea is that ultimately, if you're hungry, eat, meaning it's actually more healthy to eat while you're hungry and not to wait till the pangs of hunger subsist. If you're thirsty, drink. What is the pot boiling? That means if you have to defecate, right? If you have to defecate badly, take care of your knees. Pour out the pot and do not wait till it passes, for that is unhealthy. Karna karya baromi. If you hear the horn sound in Rome, barmaz binteini. That is a good sign that there is a good market to sell figs. And if you're selling figs, teini davuch hazabin. If it's a ripe market, a good market for selling figs, sell your father's figs as well. So what this means is, let's say your father has figs, but your father is not home. Aye, but the market for selling figs is a good market. Sell your father's figs even without his permission, because he would be happy ultimately again that you did so. Okay, pretty incredible. Amalu Abai Rabbanon. Abai said to Rabbanon, Ki ailisu bishvili de mechuz la mefik bei bechalka. When you go out into the fields or into the pathways of mechuzah to go and relieve yourself, lo techsu lo lahachkisa lo lahachkisa. When you're defecating in the fields of mechuzah, don't look to your right, don't look to your left. Why? Dilma yasvi nashi. Because also apparently the fields of mechuzah were a popular defecation spot. So people went out there, including women, and there may be women who are defecating there as well. Falav orecha lista kulabu. And it's not appropriate, obviously, to look upon women when they are defecating. Rav Safra all the base akise. Rav Safra went to the bathroom. Asa Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Abba. So we'll say, Rav Safra is using the bathroom. So Rabbi Abba comes. Now Rabbi Abba doesn't know if there's someone in the bathroom or not. So what does he do? Nacharle Ababa. He coughed. Right, he coughed. So we'll say, so what's the chab? Why is he coughing? He coughs to see if someone's there. So what is he waiting for? If someone's inside, he'll cough back. Right, he'll cough back. So he says, but what happens? I'm going to lay, Leomar. So Safra calls out, come on in. So he answers him. He doesn't cough back. He answers him. So Basar did not fake. So after Rav Safra came out and Rabbi Abba came out, Amrale ad hashtalo ailis lisar, vigamartalocha mili disar. So listen to this. Rabbi Abba gives Rav Safra some musar. He says, you know, you don't even live in Seir, right? You don't even live among the Gentiles, but yet you act like a Gentile. In other words, why are you talking in the bathroom? It is such a lack of sense. That's why I coughed. Remember again, Rabbi Abba saying, I coughed. All you needed to do was to cough back or not cough back. If you coughed back, I would know that I can't come in. If you didn't cough back, but yet, why did you speak? So the Gemara says, Halki Tanan. So Rabbi Abba, after all, did we not learn? Medura Haisa Sham. Rabbi Abba, remember again, this was in Meseches Midos. We saw this about the Bisakisi HaKavod, right? Ultimately, again, the very important lavatory that existed in the subterranean chambers, subterranean tunnels of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember again, Medura Haisa Sham, there was a big fire there. Ubeisakisi Shalkavod. There was a Beisakisi Shalkavod. Vizaya Kvodo. What was the covenant of the Beisakisi? Remember, I was saying this is underground of the Beis HaMikdash. Matso, no. Biyadur Sheisham Adam. If you found the door locked, you knew that someone was in the bathroom. Matso, Pasuach, Biyadur Sheisham Adam. If the door was open, then ultimately what? Then there was no one in there. Amalav Orach Arahu. Shabbos says, remember, what does this teach us? The idea is don't talk in the bathroom. So Rabbi Abba was coughing purposely to avoid talking. And yet Rav Safra went ahead and spoke. So why did Rav Safra speak? Who savar mesukanu. Rav Safra was concerned that maybe Rabbi Abba really had to go to the bathroom very badly, to the point that not relieving himself would be a sakana. And therefore, again, he goes ahead and what? He goes ahead and he talks. Tisanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Amut hachozer, maybe es ha'adam lidei hidarkun. Silun hachozer, maybe es ha'adam lidei yarkun. So Rebbe said, withholding defecation causes sickness, withholding urination causes sickness. Rav Safra, for some reason, thought that maybe Rabbi Abba was going to be ill, and therefore, again, in an effort to go ahead and tell him to come in, he says, come in. Rabbi Elazar, Allah beis hakiseh. Also, Parsa, also, we'll just finish the story. Rabbi Elazar went to the bathroom. Also, Parsa, dachke. We both said pretty well, so Rabbi Elazar is using the bathroom. Some Persian guy comes in and literally throws him out of the bathroom. So come Rabbi Elazar, v'nafak. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, he's not going to start up with the Persian. The Persian throws him out, gets up. So asa dakuna, shante lekarkashe. There was a snake in the bathroom. We'll say, literally translated, it means the snake bit out the rectum of this guy who was sitting and using the bathroom. So Karele Rabbi Elazar, ve'etein adam tachtecha. So Rabbi Elazar saw this, and he saw the pasuk. Literally, the pasuk says, I will put someone else in your place. Al tikri adam, ela edom. Don't read it as adam. Rather, ultimately what? Read it as Edom. So both say, so pretty incredible. So Rabbi Elazar, ultimately thinking that he was about to be killed. Oh, excuse me. I'm not understanding why he was roughed up in such an unnecessary way. Yet, halacha l'maisa, he was saved. So both say, we'll stop over here. Meretz Hashem will pick up here tomorrow. Shkoyach. We'll say, also, just a reminder, if you have not yet made your reservations for the Siyum and you would like to come, I'm pretty sure that today is absolutely, positively the last day. Also, if you are one of the Masaimim and you have not yet messaged me, please do so today. Shkoyach.
Have a good day.